Mishnah Hey, on the first night of Pesach, there is a mitzvah with the Uraisa to eat matzah. And the Mishnah begins by telling us that Eilu Dvorim Shalom Yetzu Behenye Dechavosu Ba Pesach. One fulfills his obligation of eating matzah on the first night of Pesach if it is made out of the following things: Bachitim, wheat, Basurim, barley, Bakusmin, spelt, Uvashifain, rye, Uvashbel Shual, or oats. These are the five main grains, and these are really the five grains which can technically become chametz. And it's learned from the fact that the Torah puts the obligation to eat matzah next to the obligation not to eat chametz. It's learned from there that only something which can technically become chametz, it can rise properly, only those grains can be used to eat matzah, to make matzah which you can fulfill your obligation with. Now the second part of this Mishnah is focused around the rule of mitzvah haboa ba'avira, that a mitzvah which one performs by doing an avira is not considered a mitzvah and he does not fulfill his obligation. And this is going to list lots of different tithes and different types of food which are forbidden to eat because the tithes have not necessarily been taken. So there are lots of terms in this Mishnah which refer to different types of food. And firstly, tevel is food from which the tithes have not yet been separated. And it is forbidden to eat that food. If one eats that on purpose, he is chayv misa. He's liable to the death penalty by Hashem. So that is known as tevel. If the tithes have been separated, and it is regular food which can be eaten by anybody, that is known as chulin. Demai refers to produce where it is a doubt as to whether these tithes have been separated. If somebody buys food from an ignorant person, so he can't be sure whether he separated the tithes or not. So that produce is known as demai. And the Mishnah begins by telling us that v'yotzin b'demai, one would fulfill his obligation of eating matzah if that matzah was made out of grain, which was demai. The reason being that although it is forbidden ideally to eat demai, there is a leniency for poor people. Poor people are allowed to eat demai and they are allowed to assume that the tithes have been separated already. Now technically, at any point, one is able to make himself poor. One could technically declare all of his property to be ownerless, so therefore he would be considered poor, and then he could eat demai. So since demai can be eaten by poor people, one can fulfill his obligation of matzah with matzah which is demai. Now, a farmer needs to separate a tenth of his produce as Maaser Rishon, and that Maaser Rishon goes to a Levi, and once that Levi receives that Maaser Rishon, he has to separate a tenth of that and give it to a Kohen, and that is known as Trumas Maaser. So if a Levi, let's say, has Maaser Rishon, Shen Litlo Trumasai, whose Trumas Maaser has been separated already, so that it is totally permitted to eat it, and therefore you would fulfill the obligation of matzah with that food. Alright, now during the first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the Shemitah cycle, as well as separating Maaser Rishon, one also needs to separate Maaser Sheni, which is another tenth of the produce, and he needs to take that up to Yerushalayim and eat it in Yerushalayim. Now that could be a lot of produce, and it could be very inconvenient to take it all up to Yerushalayim, so one is able to redeem all of that Maaser Sheni produce onto money, such that that money now has the status of Maaser Sheni money. Then you could take out the money to Yerushalayim and spend the money on food in Yerushalayim, and that would then be your Maaser Sheni. So the Mishnah says with Maaser Sheni produce, and this is talking about the original produce that you separated, once you redeem that produce onto money, so the original produce has not got the status of Maaser Sheni anymore. It's considered regular chulin food, which can be eaten by anybody, even outside of Yerushalayim. So if you use that produce to make your matzah, then it will be totally fine, because it is permitted to eat it. The hekdesh, and produce belonging to the Beis HaMikdash, sheniftu, again, which you redeemed it, so the produce no longer belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. If you redeem that onto money, so now the money has the status of hekdesh, but the produce does not, and therefore you can use it for your matzah. V'akarnim b'chalo v'atruma, karnim can fulfill their obligation through matzah, which is chala, that's the part of a dough which is given to a kohen. U'vatruma, this is a portion of the produce which is given to a kohen, and for the kohen it's totally permitted to eat, so even though for other people it's forbidden to eat, since it's permitted for the kohen, he would fulfill his obligation of matzah if the matzah was made of chala or truma. But one cannot fulfill his obligation with tevel, which is produce which the tithes have definitely not been separated from, and it is therefore forbidden to eat. Similarly, one is not allowed to fulfill his obligation. He does not fulfill his obligation if he ate Maaser Rishon from which the Trumas Maaser had not been separated, so the Levi did not separate a tenth of that gift and give it to the Kohen. Nor can he fulfill his obligation with Maaser Sheni Matzah, or with matzah which belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, if it has not yet been redeemed onto money, since that still has the status of Maaser Sheni or Hekdesh. So it's forbidden to eat the Maaser Sheni outside of Yerushalayim, and it's forbidden to eat the Hekdesh anywhere. So in all these cases, it will be considered a mitzvah habu'ah ba'avira, and therefore one would not fulfill the mitzvah. Now the third part of the Mishnah discusses chalis toida, the loaves brought together with a carbon toida, or a kike nozer, the thin matzah loaves brought together with a nozer's carbon. A nozer is somebody who accepts upon himself not to drink wine or to become tomei from dead bodies or to cut his hair. And at the end of his nazirus period, he needs to bring some karbanos. And together with the karbanos, he also brings some loaves of matzah bread. And also when you bring carbon toida, you bring both chometz bread and also matzah together with the carbon. So if you made matzah for the sake of the nozer or for the sake of the person bringing the carbon toida, asar la'atzmai, if he made it for himself, meaning he was obligated to bring a carbon toida, let's say, and so he baked the matzah in order to bring it for the carbon toida. And then for whatever reason, let's say he had some left over, or he didn't end up bringing the carbon, and then it reaches Pesach, ein yotzei bohem, one cannot fulfill his obligation of matzah with the matzah he prepared for the carbon toida, or for the nozer's carbon. And this is learnt from the pasuk, which says, "Ushmartimus hamatzos," you should guard the matzos, which the Gemara interprets to mean that one needs to bake the matzahs for the sake of fulfilling the mitzvah of matzah on Pesach. So if when he made the matzah, he did not have the intention to use it for the sake of the matzah of Pesach, then it is not valid matzah for fulfilling one's obligation. However, interestingly, Asonim Karbashuk, if he made the matzah in order to sell in the marketplace to people who need to bring carbon toidas, or people who need to bring a carbon of a nozer, so he baked matzahs to sell to other people. In that case, if he has any left over, then Yotzei Bohen, he can fulfill his obligation of the matzah on Pesach. The reason being that he knows when he bakes them that he'll probably have some left over, since he's making so many to sell to people. And because of that, when he makes them, he makes a condition in his mind and has the intention already then that if he doesn't manage to sell all of them, then he is making them for the sake of the matzah of Pesach, such that if he does have any left over, he would be able to use that for the matzah on Pesach.